Peyton, are you telling me the truth about green man-eating monsters at Lincoln Financial Field?
You bet I am. Those green monsters tried to devour me alive. I was so scared that I wouldn't make it out of there. The magic zebras tried to rescue me by blowing whistles at them and by hitting them with yellow flags.
Gosh! What did you do to get away?
You have to offer the green monsters a flying brown pig. If you keep giving them the flying brown pigs, then they'll let you do a walk of shame and defeat from their domain.
Golly gee!
I'm going to sleep. Good night, Eli.
Okay. Good night, Peyton.
We be the infamous, you heard of us. Official
review.
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 Official.
Review.
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 Official.
Review.
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 What's up, gang? Welcome back to another episode of the Upon Official Review podcast. Back in action, taking names. You know exactly how we do over here. We take no prisoners. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of the show. Another, you know, it's a week of Philadelphia sports. I won't say it's a great week of Philadelphia sports. It was a week, exactly. It did. Time did progress. So me and Murdoch doing our thing. You know, telling you what's going on in the world of Philadelphia sports and everywhere else. Yep. This week we've got, you know, unfortunately it hasn't been as great as the week before.
Right.
We got some positive news. I mean, the Phillies did clinch since.
Yeah,
since the last time.
And
you know,
we were at that game.
Exactly.
Which was really fun.
Which was fantastic. Yeah, shout outs to our boy Justin, who I know listens to the show. You know, we all had to, you know, we all pooled our dough and got some tickets that day. And we
much
he came up from DC. So he's a good man. That's a good guy. But yeah, it was a great game. We got to see Oswald pitch.
Yeah,
you know, fireworks
really well.
Afterwards. You know, everybody, all the crowd was hyped the entire game. You know,
grand slam.
Yeah, grand slam.
Division clinching grand slam.
Yep. Yeah.
It was fun.
Yeah, unfortunately, it hasn't been, you know, all puppies
all
and kids
since then.
Exactly. But you know, we'll get into baseball in a little bit. The Phillies slide.
Let's talk some football.
Week two
of the NFL season.
Yeah. Exactly. Birds on tap, man. You know, the game was mostly enjoyable. I mean, obviously.
Didn't end well. Just was one of those games where I remember saying with about, you know, once we were ahead 10, man, I wish this clock would move faster. I just want to get out of here, even with a 1-point win.
Yep.
It was, to me, it was a really big game. You know, this is the kind of game where if you can pull this one out on the road, early in the season, before your team kind of even gels and isn't as good as they hopefully will be in 5 or 6 weeks.
Right. Yeah, we talked about that.
It helps you for playoff seeding just a lot. You know, one game could be the difference between getting that bye and having to play in the wild card round or even, you know, on the road, you know,
right
in the wild card round. And that could be the difference between Super Bowl trip and, you know, I don't want to overstate it. It is only week two, but, you know, they all count the same. Let's not forget, you know, wins you get now are just as good as wins you get then. Towards the end of the season. You know, a lot of teams turn it on too late and, you know, just can't quite get it done. So, it was a big game, I thought, and it was frustrating for sure how it ended up. Vic getting hurt cost us the game. So many different things went wrong, any one of which, had it not gone wrong, we probably win the game. So, on one hand, it's frustrating to lose. On the other hand, the fact that so much did have to go wrong just for us to kind of barely lose, you know, Macklin dropping a pass on fourth down, Vic getting hurt, turnovers, you know, on the road against a good team, they still, you know, had to get everything kind of in their favor to beat us. So on that note, you know, we're not going to be an easy team to beat. And we kind of beat ourselves a little bit, got some definitely bad luck.
Yeah, drop passes killed us.
Yeah, bad luck, dumb mistakes, fluky injury. Vic getting spun into the guy there.
Yep, who was just finishing his block. I mean,
right.
That guy didn't hit him. Luck. Just, wrong place, wrong time. I guess Actually, I think if you watch the replay, LeSean McCoy missed the block on that play, but still, you know, it wasn't like a Falcons player caused the injury at all.
No, it was just bad luck. So, you know, if we're that hard to beat going forward for good teams, you know, on the road, that's a good sign, especially because we can definitely play better, and hopefully we will. We better play better. But right now, our offense looks really pretty unstoppable. With Vic in there, you know, they could have – they scored, what, 31 both games, and it could have easily been over 40 in each game with a couple breaks.
Yep.
And as far as, you know, when Macklin, you know, he wasn't much of a factor in the first game. And as he gets better. And
yeah, he had a monster game. If not for his
monster
drop
game
pass.
The
drop
game.
Pass makes you feel
the
like he, he's
fourth down,
goat.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And he was a little bit, let's be honest. Because,
he, yeah, he was. That's the play you remember.
I mean, before that, at that point, Kafka was like 7-for-7. He ended up 7-for-9 because of that pass and then the final Hail Mary. But
that's right. Yeah, he was. He is all completions. You're right.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just a frustrating game. I mean, what are your thoughts about it?
Yeah, I mean, positives. LeSean McCoy had almost 100 yards on the ground, two TDs. You're right. The offense did look really good from time to time. Just bad passes and bad breaks. Yep. Bad drops and bad breaks. Selleck had the drop pass on the play that should have been a first down.
Yep.
The next play, Vic gets hurt.
Right.
You know, he was open. Deshaun didn't even really have a good game.
Absolutely not.
Two catches. So, you know, you can't figure other teams are going to keep him the two catches.
And, if they want to, and Macklin has 180 yards every game, that's okay.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, 171 yards for Macklin.
Right. That's called picking your poison, and sure game plan for Deshaun, but that's why it's nice to have Macklin. Steve Smith even made a cameo.
Yeah.
He's going to get better as the season goes on.
Precisely, yep.
And he's, let's be honest, Avant's good, but he's not as good as Steve Smith.
Yeah, that's true.
When he's fully healthy, so.
Precisely, yep. Yeah, Steve Smith.
We got a lot of weapons. Tough to stop them all, you know.
Yep. On the other side of the coin, still just when the other team seems like they want to run the ball, like when other teams focus on running the ball, typically haven't shown that we've been able to stop it consistently.
Yeah,
here and there.
It's a shame because they really did a good job up until the fourth quarter.
Right.
That one big run, other than that, you know, they did a good job against Michael Turner. But you can't just say other than that because that big run absolutely happened.
It was a 61-yard run.
61-yard run. You know, other than that, they did a good job. But there is no other than that. You know, that got them right back in the game. They were down 10. Bang, 61 yards later, they're right in the game. So,
And then as
again,
you know,
once again, the red zone
sport.
Defense, 5-for-5 allowed, didn't hold them to a field goal one time. Shades of last year when they were the worst red zone defense since 1987 or something like
that.
Yeah,
that's right. I almost forgot about that. Yeah, they
five for five. And, you know, of course, we got a field goal. We had a second and one on what, the three, and ended up with a field goal. And then the next trip down, turned the ball over. So that's, you know, 11 points we left out on the board. And, you know, they got 7 every stinking time.
I mean, two of those were short fields because of turnovers, but still, you're right.
Right, but still, you know. Yeah, they were in the red zone, and, you know, 5-for-5. You know, that's terrible. Even 4-for-5, and it's 31-31. You know what I mean?
Yep.
If they'd have to kick one field goal.
That's right. It's a 4-point difference.
Touchdown every time. So, especially when you leave 11 points on the field in the red zone, and the other team leaves 0, and you lose by 4, that's pretty big.
Yep. It's huge. You're right.
But to me, the biggest two parts of the game. Well, no, not the biggest, but two of the biggest parts, and was the interception that NBC didn't show a clear replay of.
Uh huh.
And this is something that the NFL needs to absolutely needs to figure out a way where the Eagles need to be able to look at their own replays in the booth, because what happened was, you know.
Yeah, what's the story with that? How does that work?
The Eagles in the booth only are watching what NBC shows.
Why
so
is that?
Whatever NBC wants to show, we're at their mercy, pretty much. And this cost us a couple years ago once. And Jason Avant pops up signaling no catch right away.
I remember that.
NBC showed one or two replays from about 75 yards away. There was absolutely no chance. And based on that, they absolutely couldn't, in the second half, risk losing a timeout. because there was absolutely nothing that those replays showed that said, you know, anything. They didn't show – they weren't able to see because the problem was Collinsworth, the moron, is running his mouth about the pass rush. So they showed close-ups of the pass rush about three or four times because Collinsworth, you know, instead of – hey, there's a guy signaling no catch. Maybe it was a catch. Maybe it wasn't. All he had to do was say that. Then NBC is running replays and showing whether or not it was a catch. But he decides to completely ignore that and start talking about the pass rush and how it's getting to Vic. So they showed the pass rush three or four times. They were actually showing from the perspective of the defense looking at Vic, not even showing the ball completed a couple times. So we got completely screwed by NBC. And to make matters worse – you know, 15 minutes, and I scream about it right away. They need to show the replay. What's NBC doing? What's NBC doing? You know, right. That cannot blame Reed on at all because he absolutely should not have challenged that based on what they saw in the second half, risking, you know, in the first half, that's fine. But, you know, those second half timeouts in a close game are huge.
Yep. Plus his track record is already really bad.
You know, that was a good play not to challenge. It was just horrible by NBC to not show
terrible.
That. Then NBC finally shows, you know, all they had to do was show that in the first place. And you know what Collinsworth says? Oh, well, that was mischallenged by Andy Reid. It's like, no, that was missed by your network by not showing that in the first place. You know what I mean? Unbelievable. Then he starts blaming Reid to get himself off the hook because he's talking about something totally unrelated. And, you know. And then, you know, the next day NBC apologizes to Andy Reid. Oh, they should have shown that. Like, yeah, no kidding they should have shown that. You know, it's too late now. Mm-hmm. You know, we're 1-1. And, you know, it would have been 2nd and 10 right about, I think, the 40-yard line, almost to midfield. And instead, they get a touchdown the next play or two plays later. And, you know, that was a huge turning point in the game. And if that doesn't happen, we win the game, let's be honest.
Yep.
So that was a big play. The NFL needs to have the teams need to have somebody down in that truck to be able to see their own replays and not be at the mercy of these stupid networks. You know, the network isn't invested in whether or not the Eagles win. They could care less. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when their announcer's talking about the pass rush, they're going to show the pass rush because that's what the guy's talking about. You know, it's the announcer's fault. But, you know, everybody's a human. It's not on Collinsworth necessarily. You know what I mean? Like.
Right.
It just – we shouldn't be at the mercy of the stinking network whether
Absolutely.
Or not we show the replay. We should be able to control the replay and see all the different angles on our own. Our own guys should be up there doing that, and it shouldn't be come down to this. And if not, and if you're going to leave it at the mercy, then these guys need to get fired when they don't show the replay right away and they just show something unrelated. It's
ridiculous. It doesn't make
sense.
They
obviously had the replay. There was no reason they couldn't have shown that right away, and they didn't do it, and it was stupid, you know.
Yeah,
and then I think another huge part was, once again, the Eagles' inability to get 1 yard. It cost them three different times. On the first drive, we had a 3rd and 1, and they call this kind of slow developing draw, and you know, but it took 6 seconds for McCoy to actually get started. By that time, there's three guys in the backfield, and they stop us.
Yeah, I never understand the why you would run a slow developing play when you only
just
need
just get a yard, go straight forward, get a yard,
uh-huh.
and then we had now because of that cost us, we had to punt the first drive, and we were moving it right down the field, and they didn't really stop us much. There weren't many punts certainly while Vic was in. So that's one time where it cost us. And we were around midfield, so we would have been pretty close to getting into scoring position. So that cost us then. The second time was we had a 2nd and 1 from the 3-yard line, and Reed calls one run, and it doesn't work. And then it's like, oh, well, forget that. You know what I mean? We tried it once. We'll never try it again. So then he calls Vic rolling out, and it doesn't happen. We get 3 points. You know what I mean? That should be an automatic 7 every time.
Yep.
2nd and 1 from the 3. Basically, it's like 5 downs almost you're kind of getting to get. 2-3 yards, you know.
Yep.
And then the worst play of the game was the Vic fumble where they called the guards to pull, so there was someone they just completely left unblocked, and yet at the same time they decide, oh, let's have Vic fake a pitch one way to make this take even longer to get to the handoff when somebody's completely unblocked, and then you know Vic's faking a pitch, spinning around.
Oh yeah, I don't remember exactly what
play line. He's totally blind right now. It's like unbelievable. How do you think that's a good idea to not block someone and yet have that fake pitch? You know, if you're not going to block someone, you better hand it off right away.
Right.
And sure enough, they make a slow, you know, they just can't run it straight. And you know, the problem is not the personnel. Westbrook wasn't great between the tackles, but LeSean McCoy is good between the tackles. But Reed and his philosophy is we don't care about the run, and it costs us year after year. We can't get a yard when we need it to get a first down, and it always costs us. And it's because of Reed and the fact that he hates the run is the reason why we can't ever get a third and one. It's because of Andy Reed and his refusal to ever want to run the ball and have him care that it's even important. Mm-hmm. It, you know, only time he ever wants to run the ball is when we have a, you know, 21-point lead in the fourth quarter. You know, and he will not do it other than that. And it costs us every year. And it's just, you just get so tired of it. So
it's true. It's true. And like the thing about it too, coming, mentioning, you know, running and everything like that. This team run blocks well. You know, if they actually had the opportunity to build a ground game, they could. The same. It was the same thing, and it's been the same for a while. But like back when Trey Thomas and Runyon were here,
absolutely, they liked it too. Amazing. They enjoyed
exactly.
it.
Exactly. It lets the offensive linemen be aggressive rather than
exactly.
be reactive, rather than them exactly. always being on their heels.
Yep.
Now they're actually attacking, and that
yep.
you know that gets their adrenaline going. Exactly. That gets your team, you know, psyched up and moving.
Sure.
When you're always on your heels, just protecting that, I think that just puts your team at a disadvantage, man.
Absolutely. Yeah, you know, the same could be said for the other side of the ball. You know, he doesn't care about running. He doesn't care about stopping the run. The Eagles put no stock in linebackers. They have a fourth-round pick. You know, this is their plan. It's just – it reeks of last year when they had no plan as far as cornerbacks, which didn't make any sense because cornerbacks have been something they valued.
Yeah, exactly. They had like five rookies back there last year.
Why are these the cornerbacks? Like, this doesn't make any sense to go into the season like this. And sure, of course, it costs us. And, you know, now already the linebackers are costing us. It's just not caring about the run on either sides of the ball. It's just been that way for years and years and years. You just get tired of it, you know?
Yep.
You lose games. We lose games because of both sides of that. You know,
yep.
And it's just like if we won four Super Bowls, it's one thing to be stubborn and stick to your story.
Yeah.
But we never win anything with this, you know, to think maybe we should make an adjustment ever.
Switch it
this
up, yeah.
doesn't work. So maybe we should actually care about the run on either side of the ball. It's just ridiculous. So
it is.
Now again, if it worked and teams were winning Super Bowls this way, left and right. That's one thing, but it doesn't work. Nobody's ever won a Super Bowl like this. You pass more than you run, yeah, but they don't just disregard the run to the level that we do. That nobody's ever done that. You know, Reed is the most pass happy coach in the league, and it never works.
And has been for years, yeah.
Yeah, and he always has been, and he never changes, but it never wins. So he needs to change, but he won't. So it just gets frustrating. Sometimes you just, you know, you want to see how these players would do with a different coach. You know, it's just frustrating.
Yep, I agree. Apparently, for this upcoming week, they are switching the linebacker spots. Did you know that?
Yeah, Jamar Chaney's going in the middle.
We'll see how that works.
Whatever. I just think he's a pretty good linebacker. The other two guys are trash. And you know, and it's that's not only the running backs so against us, it's the tight ends. And it's all because they don't care about – they even say they don't really care about linebackers. And they have crappy linebackers, and they can't stop running backs or tight ends. And it hurts them, and it costs them games every year.
Mm-hmm.
It's just – it's frustrating.
Yeah, yeah. By the numbers – you know, they're close in some things, but yeah, the Eagles definitely should have they should have come out on top.
Yeah, and I mean, again, you know, right now I'm frustrated because of the loss, and it took a lot. The NBC screwing us, you know, all the third and ones, all the turnovers, even if Vic doesn't get hurt. And Reed said he was too conservative with Kafka, and he was. And,
yep.
and blamed himself for that. And that's good. I mean, in the heat of the moment, you know, I don't blame him for getting conservative. You know, it's hard. It would be hard not to with a lead, with a rookie quarterback. But it's nice to see him take responsibility. And, you know, whatever you want to say about Reed, he always takes responsibility. And, you know, that's one thing that I respect about him. So, you know, again, if it's going to be that hard to beat us, if that many things have to go right just for a good team to beat us in their house, we're going to be pretty good this year. So.
Yep.
Hopefully
yep.
we learn from this. Vic's healthy, and we come out and smoke the Giants and go from there.
Yeah, no panic button yet. The other thing that you got to love so far this season
just had
is...
Just had to vent some frustration, I'm sure.
Yeah, no, absolutely. No, it's definitely worth venting over. The other thing that...
We're Philly fans. You know, we get just as frustrated as you guys, and we may be irrational at times, but, you know, that's... Hey, we're Philly fans.
That's true. That's true. The only good thing, though, I was going to say is the secondary does look really good, man.
Look very good. Yeah, absolutely. And the
Roddy
defensive.
White and the other guy, they got Julio Jones. Two of Julio Jones is a highly touted rookie, and Roddy
Absolutely.
White, one of the top five receivers in the league, probably arguably. Three catches, 23 yards for Roddy White. And then
Absolutely.
also there was two. We had two picks. Samuel had that
Yep,
great pick.
Samuel had the unbelievable one, and
Someone had a pick as well, where
Osmo had one right at the end of the half.
yeah, totally just read what was going on, stepped up in the gap right there and took the ball away. So that
Yeah,
was.
I heard that they were going to put Osmo on the tight end, but the Dominic Rogers Cromartie kind of tweaked a little injury during the week, so they figured, okay, well, we're not going to be able to have those two guys on the outside. We don't know how good DRC is going to be, so we're going to scratch that plan. But that I actually like, because if he can
Yeah, me
cover the
too.
tight ends in the future and let those guys cover the outside, that'll actually make us a lot better.
Yeah,
So
watching him play
it'll help our
cornerback,
cornerback.
him, and if you ever watched Darrelle Revis,
Yeah,
Osmo,
oh yeah,
they're
absolutely. They're
so good.
playing a different
They,
game than anybody else
yeah,
is.
yeah, they look so confident and so smooth,
Smooth.
and they never get beat, man. They know everybody's supposed to be. They know all the routes you're gonna run. It's just really nice to watch.
Absolutely.
So those are some pluses we got going forward.
Yeah, and let's
Hopefully we
not
can
forget the
do that.
front four.
Yeah, you're right.
Pass rush without the blitz has been awesome this year. So that will help the secondary even more, not like they need help. To me, it seems right now, now I don't, I'm not an NFL coach, so I don't, but doesn't it seem logical right now that you can single cover everybody on the outside? You get great pass rush with no blitz. Can't you just kind of put five linebackers on the field every play to help out where we might not be as good as far as talent? We can make up with numbers, to stop the run and stuff. Like, seems you can just stuff the box every play to stop the run and double cover the tight end, because you don't need extra guys rushing the passer right now.
I had four sacks
And
from the defensive line.
you don't need to, you've got stud corners that you don't that they can single cover anybody.
Yep, it's true.
So, I mean, I don't know if maybe it's not that simple, but doesn't that seem like that they would be able to do that? It seems like it to me. I don't know. Maybe they'll do that more in the future. Let's hope.
Who knows? Maybe the Eagles will start listening to our podcast and wise up. Anyway, that's good stuff, man, on the birds. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll do what's making Murdoch mad, which we know you guys love. We'll talk about the Phillies, talk about the clinch, clinching, the NL East again, and then talk about this little mini slump they've got going on,
Yeah.
get to all the rest of the good stuff. You guys stick around. This is the Upon Official Review podcast.
Last word in Philly sports.
That's who we are. You guys don't go anywhere.
My hair is black and red. My hair is yellow. My eyes are brown and green and blue. My name is Jack and Fred. My name's Amanda Sue. I'm called Queen of Doo. My name is you. I live in southern France. I'm from a Texas ranch. I come from Mecca and Peru. I live across the street in the mountains on the beach. I come from everywhere and my name is you.
Welcome back, gang. It's the Upon Official Review podcast. Hope you guys are enjoying this show. We always enjoy putting it on for you guys. It's time to find out this week what is making Murdoch very mad.
Who are you trying to get crazy with, S.A.? Don't you know I'm loco?
But they are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
Murdoch, let them know.
This week, Charlie Manuel is making me mad, and I think he's probably made me mad about every other episode since we started. The Phillies are just known to slump all together, the whole team together. So he puts, five minor league guys every game, and it's like he's trying to get the offense to slump. Meanwhile, the pitchers who have been, we've been riding them all year long, and they haven't been pitching with much margin for error because, 60% of the season, our offense has been terrible. The other half's been awesome, but You know, before Utley got healthy, it was just, you know, they were winning just because of them, and they were winning 2-1 every game and lots of stress. And Cliff Lee's, you know, throwing 120 pitches. Like, if you're going to rest everybody, why are the pitchers not getting any rest? 120? Like, come on.
Yeah.
There's no way these guys should be, you know, throwing more than 100 pitches. He's going both ways at it. He's running the pitchers into the ground while resting all the everyday players who probably need less of a rest than the pitchers. It just doesn't make any sense. You know, right now the whole team's losing, and, you know, why Cliff Lee throws 120 pitches, you'll never convince me that there's a good reason for that. It just doesn't make any sense. You know, right now we just have no momentum at all. We're losing every game, 5 in a row. First time in a year and a half that they've lost 5 in a row.
Yes, yeah,
first time they've lost 5 in a row at home. No. It was May of 2010 was the last time, May 22nd through 27th. So it was about a year and a half. And then it was 2009, the last time we lost 5 home games in a row.
Gotcha. So, yeah, 5 home games, right.
Yeah, so it's been 2 years and a year and a half since we did it at all. But it's just, you know, I get that you're not going to be quite as juiced up after you clinch the division. They clinched home field on Monday with the Brewers, I think, lost on Monday, and they clinched home field. But there's no reason to not – I mean, the players in there should be playing hard. You know, people pay money for these tickets. They're not even trying. Nobody on that team, maybe Mayberry. The pitchers are giving up 5 runs every game. The offense isn't scoring. They did score a couple runs tonight, basically 99% because of Mayberry's good game. You know, he had a home run, scored 3 runs, stole a base. I mean, he just pretty much was the entire offense, and they ended up scoring 5. But they're playing terrible right now, and anyone that says that they're really confident in the Phillies, I think is lying to themselves, because right now, who knows if they're going to be able to flip that switch. And it's just, yep, it's time to get a little nervous, I think. They need to at least play okay over the last few games here. And right now, they're not even showing up onto the field. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing right now. So that's what's making me mad. Manuel, I don't think, is doing a good job. If you're going to rest everybody and not care at all and kill any momentum we had, then the starting pitcher shouldn't be throwing 120 pitches. And
yeah,
it's kind of taking me off, and I'm getting, you know, starting to get a little nervous. So Phillies need to shape up and, first of all, stop throwing 120 pitches for their aces, and second of all, start scoring some runs. And actually, just who's on the field, just play hard. That's all I'm asking for here. So,
yeah. Yeah. Give me some statistics, you know, the final 10 games for, you know, the previous World Series winners.
Well, the last 5 World Series winners, St. Louis in 2006 was 3-7. They were a bad team all year long, won 84 games in a bad division, and then somehow caught fire and won the World Series, beating the, you know, Tigers, who had were the best team. The Tigers ended up being a wild card team by kind of a very similar slump to what the Phillies are going through now. They just hit it before they had clinched the division. They had clinched the wild card. But they won like 97, 98 games that year and were awesome, and then had 6 days off for the World Series. A lot of people from Detroit blamed the layoff for the reason that they weren't able to beat St. Louis. But other than that, Boston in 2007 was 6-4. And then the Phillies, Yankees, and Giants, respectively, were all 7-3 in their final 10 regular season games. So, you know, definitely, I don't think it's that big of a deal, especially with a veteran team, but it's something, and you can't just completely stop trying to win and just look like crap. You know, if they lose out, you know, end up with 98 wins or 99 or 100, you know, they better at least go 4-3 or something over the last few games with a decent pitching performance here or there and some offense. It's going to be really time to worry if they don't at least – I'm not saying they got to play awesome. And again, you know, there's no adrenaline right now because they know they've clinched. And that's just human nature. But they're going a little too far at this point,
right,
to make me comfortable. So.
Right, right. Tell me this. You think Manuel will wisen up and play Mayberry in the playoffs more than he plays Ibanez?
I mean, I really hope so, but I honestly doubt it.
He's been a beast since the All-Star break.
He's been a beast, and he's so much better defensively. He's got such a much better arm, a throwing arm, and so much better on the base paths. I mean, I'll never forgive Ibanez for dropping that ball in the game one of the NLCS against the Giants, which cost us two runs. We end up losing. You know, we had a 3-2 lead, and then he drops the ball for no reason. He jumped when he didn't have to, because he just got a little flustered and doesn't catch the ball where it would have been an easy catch if he just doesn't jump. He was in position, and we lost the game. And, you know, we win that game 3-2 instead of lose 4-3. We probably win that series. We probably win the World Series. I mean, you know, that's a big play. So I don't want to see Ibanez screwing up in the field. I think Charlie will play him against righties, and unfortunately there's more righties than lefties. So you'll probably see, you know, there's lefties are about 20% of starting pitchers. So you'll probably see him, you know, Mayberry one every five games in the playoffs or so, just whenever there's a lefty we're facing. That's kind of what I think. And I think he should play every day. We need a left-handed power threat off the bench. And Ibanez would be a great guy to have as far as a pinch hitter. You know, you'd have you got a couple righties right now. I mean, Glode does nothing for you. He slaps a single once in a while. He's hurt, you know. But if healthy, I'd say we have no problem because Glode's great as a pinch hitter. Mm-hmm. When he's healthy, he's just been bad being injured. And I'd love to have Ibanez as a threat off the left-hand side coming out of the bullpen or coming off the bench.
From the bench, right.
And then you have Francisco from the right side. You got some players, you know, or Valdez or Martinez or whatever. You got some guys that can come, but you don't have anybody off the left. So if you start Mayberry, you have better defense, better base running, better offense, and a better bench from that left side. So it's just win every different way.
Speed on the base paths. Yeah,
do I think Manuel's actually going to do it? No, I don't. I think Mayberry's going to play one out of every three or four or five games. And, you know, Ibanez has had zero good playoff games for us in 2 years. And I kind of expect that he will have zero good playoff games for us this year. I hope he does have a couple big games and get us, you know, some wins, but I don't expect that. I'll be happy to see Ibanez not on the team anymore, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
He's one of the worst fielders in baseball, and he's slow as an ox, and he doesn't help the team win. And, you know, Mayberry does, and it's frustrating
to see
Ibanez.
It's actually a very common misconception, sir.
Oxes are actually fast.
Exactly.
My bad. I mean, you know, insult oxes.
I used to have an ox, and he was swift. He was very fleet of foot. I'm sure he would, if he was here right now, he would definitely be offended at you comparing Raul Ibanez to him. He absolutely would. But yeah, man, the Phillies are definitely. I wish Charlie Manuel was smarter. I don't know if he is.
I agree. I don't know that he is either, but we're stuck with him. So
exactly, yeah. It just may be a case. It's kind of like Andy Reid. Very similar. It's funny. They're actually both on the cover of Philadelphia Magazine this past month. I saw it. I didn't get to read the article, but I feel like Andy Reid might be. I think somebody might have written about this too recently. The players are so good; they make up for the boneheaded moves.
Yeah, they went in spite of them. Yeah.
Exactly. I feel like the Phillies may do the same thing.
Yeah, I think there's a difference between Reed and Manuel. I think Manuel sometimes is just genuinely not that bright. Reed is a smart guy. He's just stubborn.
Stubborn.
And he's not great on game day. He's not great on the fly, but he's good to with preparation. I mean, he's never lost with 2 weeks to prepare off the bye week and things like that. So
right.
I don't think you can say Reed is dumb, but Manuel does a lot of dumb things.
Yeah, he does.
So I think that's kind of the difference. Manuel, you know, he's good at getting 25 millionaires to play together and things like that. He's not bad at everything. I'm not going to say that. I mean, they do have a lot of success under. He's good at that. He's good usually with a lineup. He's not good at handling a pitching staff. He's not smart with that. And I will never change my mind about that. I've said on this very podcast how not using guys on short rest might have cost us the last two World Series.
Yep.
And I'll go to my grave believing that we would have had a great chance to win the last two if we had pitched our ace on short rest and he made the same mistake 2 years in a row, and it's frustrating. So
I agree. I'm absolutely with you. I don't see how anyone could argue that actually. Nope. That's good stuff. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back and we'll do the rest of the segments.
Okay.
Come at you hot and heavy, hot and fast. We got a legal procedure. We got tweet of the week. We We got the fantasy football picks, and of course we got Crossfire, which is fantastic this week. And yep. And the shout outs like we always do. So you guys stick around. This is the Pontifical Review Podcast.
Last word of Philly sports.
That is us. You guys stick the heck around.
Out of his secret garden somewhere in New Jersey comes your newest favorite superhero.
It is I, Captain Vegetable, with my carrot and my celery. Eating crunchy vegetables is good for me, and they're good for you, so eat them too, for teeth so strong your whole life long. Eat celery and carrots by the bunch. Three cheers for me, Captain Vegetable! Crunch, crunch, crunch!
My name is Andy, I love candy. I eat candy whenever I can. If it's handy, give me some candy. It's so good and sweet, the perfect treat. It's such a thrill to eat my fill and gobble till there's nothing on the plate. Candy is great. But wait! Who are you? Some kind of bad dream?
Do I look like a bad dream? It is I, Captain Vegetable, with my carrot and my celery. Eating crunchy vegetables is good for me, and they're good for you, so eat them too, for teeth so strong your whole life long. Eat celery and carrots by the bunch. Three cheers for me, Captain Vegetable! Crunch, crunch, crunch!
What's up, gang? It's the Pontifical Review Podcast. So, yeah, it is time for the segment portion of the show. And let's kick it off, football style. Get into the illegal procedure of the week.
They called us for illegal procedure. Illegal procedure can be broken down.
You've got to be kidding me. I can't believe what I just saw.
I've been so wrong.
Okay, gang. This week, the illegal procedure. Once again, many people have messed up this week. And I'm coming after you. It's just hard to narrow down one. I wanted to talk about NBC. We talked about it a little bit already. NBC is, you know what? I'm going to call it. I'm just going to give it to NBC and football in general. There's absolutely no reason why the network should be the one controlling who is seeing the replays. There's absolutely no reason why, just because the network.
You're absolutely right. With all the technology available. Yeah. It's stupid that a team's season could come down to that.
Absolutely.
You could miss the playoffs. You could miss the bye. You could lose the Super Bowl because you didn't get the bye. I mean, there's just so much that could come down to it.
Because you didn't show the right angle on a replay. Yep. That doesn't make any sense. You know, I think the games are longer this year because they're doing the automatic replays of the every scoring play now.
Scoring play, yep.
Yeah, which I think is smart, though. Not having to burn your own challenge based on whether or not it's a touchdown is good. But if that's the case, if you're going to make it like that and make sure, you know, it's fair play, you got to give the teams a chance to look at the replay and not just give it to the networks. It's stupid to me. It doesn't make any sense.
And why do you have to replay it before the next play? Is that really that big of a deal?
Right.
To me, you should get 5 minutes of real time at least. You know what I mean? Like, it's not hockey. You know, if they call a goal off the post,
yeah,
and it's true, next stoppage, they'll go back and look at it, and they'll, you know, if 5 minutes went off the clock, they'll put the 5 minutes back, and any penalty or anything that happened since then won't count. So why can't you do that with football? What's the big deal?
Yeah, you're right. It's retroactively awarded.
You shouldn't get rewarded for running up and snapping it really quick, so you end up getting a play that shouldn't have counted. You get it lucky because they didn't have time to show the replay on TV. It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah,
you would avoid that. Let's get the call right. Let's not have a team snap the ball really quick so they can, you know, get a benefit of a bad call.
Exactly. Yeah.
Stupid.
Yeah, you're right.
And then, you know, the team can take a long time if they got a bad call and they're still on offense. So it's just, it's just dumb. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. You don't need all that trickeration, which is a new buzzword.
College should just review everything. They should review everything like they do in college. It doesn't kill college games. There's no reason why the challenge you know, in the last 2 minutes, everything's a booth review. That's the way it should be the whole game. Let's just get the call right. You know, nobody cares that football game takes 3.5 hours. People love football. We like to watch 12 straight hours of football. It's not a problem if our team plays in a game that lasts 4 hours.
And the network doesn't care. The network's showing ads all freaking day.
We get more ads. Let's just get the call right.
Yeah,
you know, let's have a booth review for everything. None of these stupid challenge flags, because you know, the rule is only if you challenge correctly twice should you get a third challenge. What if they blow four calls? I mean, really?
Yeah.
So you can't challenge the last one because you've already used all three of yours, but they blew four calls. You know, you shouldn't be penalized for that. You know, just get it right. No matter how many they blow, they can overturn as many as they want. Get it right every time. That's what needs to happen.
I agree.
Enough of the challenge thing. Enough of this. Enough of that. Enough of the quick snap. You know, within 5 minutes, the booth can review anything, and that's the way it's going to be from now on. That's the way I'd do it, and I think that would be a much better system.
Yeah, and I think if it means
who's going to be upset by that?
Yeah, exactly. If it means 5 more minutes of time, 10 more minutes a game, guess what? Fans aren't going anywhere. You know, the networks are still getting showing ads. The people at the stadium are buying more beers.
Yep.
And whatever else, to know that your team won the game the right way and that nobody was, you know,
screwed by a bad call. Likes that. You don't like losing because of the stinking refs. That's what we want to avoid.
You want to keep them.
Okay. How long it takes? Get the damn call right.
Yeah.
And let's do it.
It should always same thing in baseball. They should be a non-factor. You get it right. You
don't notice them. They're doing a great job.
Precisely. Precisely.
If you haven't thought about the referees all game, then that's a great job by the referees.
Exactly.
You know? That's what you want.
But yeah, so that's my illegal procedure of the week. Coming up in a second and third place, though, are the Eagles for never covering a tight end. Like, are we never, ever going to be able to cover a tight end? It's like Groundhog's Day. Like,
because they don't have linebackers. They don't really care to sign a decent linebacker.
Though,
they're not going to be able to stop the run. They're not going to be able to cover a tight end.
They get killed every year by a tight end. Like, and it's sad. Like, whenever you watch those fantasy football shows or whatever, I know you're not into it, but other people, like, whenever that team goes up against the Eagles, they go,
oh, they're you guys saying, tight start end that against, tight end against the Eagles. Yeah, absolutely.
They always get killed. It's terrible.
Yep. Absolutely.
We took two of the best wideouts out of the game with our secondary, and old Tony Gonzalez, he's got to be like 74. He's got no speed anymore. He's got hands, but
he sure has hands. No question about that.
Yeah, it's a broken record with the Eagles. I'm tired of them not being able to win. Lastly, Facebook. If you guys have seen the new Facebook, it looks ridiculous. There's a tiny little news feed inside of your regular news feed. It's like, I don't need to see every single person's that they liked a photo. I don't care. The people I care about, I'm going to scan right through. Oh, that was funny. That was cool. But, you know, half of the people, or at least a third of the people on Facebook, I've hidden their updates anyway because they're just updates about, like, their baby
whining
sick.
And crying.
Or,
I have a headache.
Body, exactly. Yeah, or, you know, I can't wait to get home and eat chili. Like, most of these things I don't care about. I'm looking for your entertaining updates and whatever.
Right.
Funny updates, but I don't need to see that, you know, so-and-so's cousin, I like their photo of, you know, cheese. I really care less about that. Oh, that cheese looks amazing. I can't wait to get home and try some. No, don't care. Facebook, cut it out. There needs to be a way to set it up so you can see what you actually like. You know, customize Facebook to what, you know, you see what you want to see. You know, maybe your friends who share particularly interesting updates. You know, whatever you come to Facebook to see, you should be able to customize whatever it is.
Anyway. The only pictures that show up are girls in bikinis. Is that what you're saying?
Whatever, you know, whatever your preference is. Maybe
bikinis only. There should be definitely a box you can check.
That's smart, man. That's smart. That would be some people would definitely do that. You know, some people only want to see like
this guy.
Other people. You know what I mean? Like, I only want to see like sad or hilarious updates, you know.
Right.
Things, you know. Anyway.
Well, not really so much sad, but yeah.
I think sad ones are funny, though. You know, to some extent. You know, because... Right, to some extent.
Like the laugh at other people's misfortune.
Exactly.
That's nice.
I mean, not like, you know, exactly. Not if, you know...
I hear what you're saying.
Yeah. Okay. It is time for the tweet of the week, sir. And you know I'm the tweet of the week. So let's make it happen.
La, 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 don't wait till I get my Twitter right. La, 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 then you can't tweet me nothing right. Excuse me, did you tweet something? You can't tweet me nothing.
All right, this week, the Tweet of the Week honor is bestowed upon one Andrew LaRue. That's Andrew LaRue. I retweeted this because it was fantastic. He actually tweeted at another one of our followers, at Puck Ducky, who we like a lot. She was asking, who comes in and plays quarterback if Mike Kafka gets hurt? And he tweeted at her, he said, Andy Reid suits up and plays quarterback. Just tell him the ball is actually lettuce and watch him throw Hail Marys all game. I just got this image in my mind of Andy Reid holding lettuce and being like, ew, and throwing it as far as he possibly could. Because you know Andy Reid does not eat vegetables. That's the last thing Andy Reid...
Yeah, absolutely not.
What is this? Can't believe you gave me vegetables. So I thought that was pretty good. It's a good tweet out of you, Andrew LaRue. Definitely. Thank you for that mental image of, Andy Reid throwing lettuce. Great stuff. All right, let's move on to our fantasy football picks for this week. So you guys, listen up.
Is this the real life? Is this just fantasy?
I couldn't care less about the team struggling.
Okay, this week, guys, for your fantasy football picks, a couple smart picks for your start and sit. You definitely want to start AJ Green, the rookie wideout with Cincinnati. Honestly, I had no thoughts of Cincinnati wide receivers lighting up the league, but he's looked great, as a rookie. And they're playing San Francisco this week, who can't defend the pass at all. They may have even tried to unretire Merton Hanks or Ronnie Lott or somebody to try to get some pass defense over there. They have zero. He'll probably go for 100 yards this week. And also the Pats running back, Ben Jarvis, Green, Ellis, Thompson, Nicholson. The guys with the 100 names. The that running back. You want to play him up against the Bills. The Bills can't stop the run at all. They've put up a bunch of points in the last 2 weeks.
Right.
They actually, what do they have, like the first or second best scoring ratio?
Scoring differential, the second only behind the Lions.
Yeah,
who I've been saying to everyone that will listen for months and months, Lions are going to be really good this year.
You have? They've looked good.
And they've looked really good so far.
Yep.
Plus 52 in two games. The second best team is a plus 37. Buffalo and Houston both at plus 37. That's not nothing.
Yeah, it's true. Buffalo cannot stop the run, though. So start him. Who you want to sit is Steven Jackson. He's saying he wants to play this week, but don't buy it. He's still hurting. He's got that quad injury.
Richard Miller's looking good.
Exactly. Keep him on your bench. Plus, he's playing against the Ravens, and the Ravens, for as old as that defense has gotten, as retread as they are at this point, they still stop
the
run.
Still getting it done, absolutely.
Yeah, I think the last two weeks they've held the starting running back to like 50 yards. They haven't gone up against slouches either. So definitely keep Steven Jackson on your bench. And you probably even – you may want to go with his backup, Cadillac Williams, but he probably won't do much either. So those are your options there for fantasy football, sir. It is time for the six-pack of questions. It is time to get into Crossfire.
It's the ultimate challenge, Crossfire.
Crossfire, you get caught up in the Crossfire. Crossfire, Crossfire, Crossfire.
You'll get caught up.
All right, sir, I will ask you the first question. Here goes. If Mike Kafka has to play, how confident are you against the Giants? Are you okay with Kafka, or are you thinking that we're in trouble?
I actually like Kafka. I hope he doesn't start, though. Thinks it gives us a better chance to win. Kafka is accurate, and he seems to have a good grasp of the offense.
I agree.
But his
Northwestern kid, smart guy.
Yeah, exactly. But his arm strength is suspect.
definitely.
I don't think
similar to Cobb, really. Maybe we can get a second round pick and a stud cornerback for him in a couple years.
That works for me. That works for me.
Absolutely.
So, but confidence level, I would say about a 6, if I had to give it a number, 6 out of 10.
Okay, that's fair. That's kind of the way I feel. Right now, even if Young was healthy, I'd rather have Kafka, because I think, you know, 5 or 6, 7, 8 weeks from now, Young for sure, once he kind of gets the offense down a little bit more. But right now, definitely Kafka should be your number two. And, he'll, you know, the Giants don't look very good, to be honest.
Yeah, it's true.
So they missed each step. I think, yeah, absolutely. And the tight end, Boss, Kevin Boss. Yeah.
And so, the other wideout that made that circus catch the other night is out. He's done for the year.
Wow, another injury. They've just been too beaten up. I don't think they're going to be – it's a shame the Cowboys didn't lose to go 0-2. That's always obviously awesome. But right now it looks like the Cowboys are the biggest competition. I just don't – I'm not scared of the Giants. I think we beat them no matter who's playing quarterback. As long as we don't, you know, turn the ball over and make stupid mistakes and get screwed by the networks again. So
I'm with you. All right, sir. Question number 2.
Kill him. Okay.
Antonio Bastardo.
Yes.
Been extremely shaky. He's looking
To say the least. To say the least.
So here's the question for you: would you trust him? Do you trust him to pitch in a close playoff game whatsoever?
Absolutely not. I don't think he should get used in the playoffs at all, unless you're trailing by 8 runs. Right now, he's given up 2-3 runs every time. Thank God Lidge came back and kept getting better and better and has been really good, because right now it's Lidge and Madsen and maybe Worley and Kendrick would be the other two guys, but nobody else can be trusted, I don't think. And I want to see Kendrick pitch in the 7th inning coming up here, see if we can, you know, trust him, because he's been awesome all year in any role. And I'd rather see Kendrick.
It's my third option. At all.
No, he's got like barely over a 3 ERA. Unbelievable. He's just done everything we've asked him to do, never complained. He's been really good for us this year. And I, like I said, I'd like to see him, you know, he's never pitched late inning relief. Let's try it now. You know, we've got some games here to kind of experiment a little bit. Let's see what he does in the 7th inning. You know, let's give him a shot in the 8th inning. You know, if he can do it right now, Bastardo's the last guy. I'd rather have Stutes than Bastardo. Bastardo's been worse than everybody.
Yep.
But I don't trust either Stutes or Bastardo at all in a close game. Nope, absolutely not. The starter needs to give us 7. Lidge, Madsen, bing, bang, boom. Hopefully the starter will give us 9. We don't even have to worry about the bullpen. But no, if the starter only gives us 6, you know, like I said, I might want to try to pass the 7 together with Worley and Kendrick. And Kendrick first, definitely. Kendrick, to me, is the third option in the bullpen. And Lidge has been awesome. He definitely has to be your setup guy now. And Madsen, your closer. So definitely I do not at all trust Bastardo. He's just fallen off the face of the earth. Rookies sometimes do that in September, and I think he's just out of gas. And, you know, see you next year kind
could
of deal.
Could be it. Hit the wall, I guess, huh?
Yeah, you can't risk him blowing a game in the playoffs. One game could be the difference of winning the World Series and going home early. So,
yep.
I don't trust him at all.
All right. What you got for me, man?
All right. On a scale of 1 to 10, how disappointed would you be if the Phillies did not win the World Series this year?
10, 10, 10, 10, 10.
Yeah, that's a pretty easy answer.
Yeah, yeah. I wish I could say my expectations were lower.
Yeah.
Because you rather have your expectations be lower and then
right,
get
right.
Because
you want to be prepared higher. To have your heart broken.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, look, and I'll tell you right now, guys. This is a good expectation for. This is a good rule for life. Set your expectations lower and then just be happier when you're pleasantly surprised.
Right.
You know, do it with everything. Do it with, you know, your job. Do it with your relationships. Set your expectations a little. Doesn't mean you can't have standards. Just set your expectations right. A little bit lower, and then when it's great, you're like, you know what? I'm glad it worked out like that.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yep.
But I wish I could say that about the Phillies. But I mean, let's face it. Yeah. We got 4 aces. Right. We got Hunter Pence. You know, which we didn't even expect to have.
Right.
You know, this team is built to win now. You cannot say that you know, next year.
Anything less than a championship is a bitter disappointment.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely a 10. Absolutely no question about it.
So, yeah, that's what I say. All right, sir. So next question, follow-up. Piggybacking off of that question, scale of 1 to 10, how confident are you right now that the Phillies will win the World Series?
Boy, if you ask me Saturday night or after the Brewers series even, the Braves, because they just really stopped kind of since then. If you ask me at the after we had just gone 6-0 against the Braves and Brewers, I would have probably said like a 9.9. You know, if they win the first two games or the first round, you know, no one's going to care about this little slide. But, you know, the first round comes up on you quick. You know, the first two games are 24 hours apart. So, you know, 27 hours after the playoffs start, you could be 0-2 all of a sudden. You know what I mean? If you're not hitting and your pitchers aren't quite sharp enough. So right now it's dipped down to maybe about an 8, I'd say. A solid 8, maybe 8.5. I wouldn't certainly go below 8. But you just, you know, it's tough to – with all this losing, you know, I mean, again, you know, as soon as they win in the first round and you know, Halladay pitches a shutout and then Cliff Lee does, you know, this will all be forgotten. But right now we're in the middle of this and it's got to, you know, make you a little nervous, right? You know, I'm still feeling pretty confident, but not as confident as I was 2 weeks ago. So I'm going to give it an 8.
All right.
What would you say if you had to give a number?
Say probably around the same thing. I wouldn't say it's dipped down into 7s yet.
Right.
But I can't say it's at a 9 either. So about an 8.
Okay. All right. Of all the NFL teams that started 2-0, the surprise 2-0 teams, we're not talking about the Patriots here.
Right.
Which team to you is the biggest fraud? Which 2-0 team as far as, you know, Houston, Buffalo.
Right, right, right.
The Lions and the Redskins, those four.
I got to say Buffalo, just because the AFC East is so tough.
Yeah.
You know, and they haven't played anybody in their division yet. I got to go with them first. Washington will tail off. They may end up 9-7, maybe.
Right.
But
right.
Buffalo's going to end up somewhere around like
6-9, 6-10,
exactly. Yeah,
you think so. I mean, they've actually led the league in scoring. 79 points. The Patriots scored 73. The Lions scored 75. Lions are on at the top of any different thing you want to look at. It's unbelievable. Green Bay scored 72. But, yeah, I mean, you know,
Lions,
I
for real. I'm with you, man. I think the Lions have turned it around.
Lions can win that division. I'm telling you. The sky's the limit for them. If Matthew Stafford.
If they won a division, man, how crazy would that be after so many years of just being.
Green Bay and Chicago in that division, too.
Didn't
I'm
they win like 40, like 4-40 or something like that for a stretch?
Something. And then they didn't win on the road in like 3 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, they went 0-16. And, you know, it's good for them. You know, nobody should have to sit through all that. And the fans that sat there and watched all that, fans, you know, that is. I'm applauding you right now, Lions fans, because you've really. Been through a rough patch and I'm sure not all of them stayed true to their team, but the ones that did, you know, they deserve to see some good football. So I'm kind of glad. You don't want to just see a team and cities just get crapped on constantly. It's nice to see something good happen. The Lions have been so bad for so long. It's nice to see. So I hope they are for real. I'm not going to predict they're going to beat Green Bay for the division, but I think they have a chance because right now they look awesome.
Yeah.
Scored 75 points and allowed 23. That is really good.
That is really good. That is really good. All right, sir. Piggybacking on that question for the final question at Crossfire. Which two? And I think we probably even talked about it. Maybe you have a different answer. But which 2-0 NFL team would you say is definitely is the biggest fraud? Maybe you'll say the Redskins. I don't know. What do you think?
The biggest fraud. I am going to say the Redskins. The Redskins with Rex Grossman, John Beck. They're going to end up terrible, I think.
Yeah.
Buffalo, you know, maybe Fitzpatrick's good. I mean, they've scored a lot of points both games.
Mm-hmm.
Washington's kind of.
They have some weapons, too.
Yeah. So
I got a wide out there. What's his name? Johnson. They got a number one draft pick running back last year, and they got Fred Fred Jackson. I'm sorry. CJ Spiller is the guy they drafted high. And then Jackson is the guy who's already been there who's pretty good.
So, yeah, I'll say Washington's the biggest fraud. The biggest surprise, the most for real team of all the four surprise 2-0 as far as the Redskins, the Lions, Buffalo and Houston. I think Houston's not too big of a shock. It's more Buffalo, Washington, and Detroit. I think the Lions, I just said that, but
right.
They're going to be good all year long as Stafford, Matthew Stafford should change his name to his middle name to if he stays healthy.
Exactly.
Matt, if he stays healthy, Stafford.
Yep.
Save everybody time.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I like the Lions a lot, and I don't like the Redskins at all.
The thing you got to say about Houston too is Houston is just thanking the lucky stars that Peyton Manning isn't going to play this year.
Absolutely, that division's awful.
They are. But you knew the Colts were going to win it every year,
right? And now it looks like Houston. I mean, if they don't win it, then everybody better get fired because there's no excuse unless they get hit with some crazy injury. I just don't see Jacksonville or Tennessee. I mean,
those teams are bad.
Tennessee. Because at least they have a quarterback who isn't just horrible.
Right.
So, but it's definitely Houston's to lose, for sure.
Yeah, you're right. You definitely got to say that. Well, all right, sir. That does it for Crossfire. Let's find out if you got any shout-outs.
Shout-out to everybody in the hood. Hey. Shout-out to everybody smoking that glue. Shout-out to everybody in the club. Hey. Everybody getting live from the geeks to the thugs.
What do you think?
Yeah, I got a couple. I want to shout out our good friend, Miss Julie K. That's all one word.
Yep.
Just like it sounds, with a letter K at the end, Miss Julie K. She's a big Philly sports fan and definitely one of our favorite followers. So follow her if you enjoy being entertained and if you like Philly sports. One of our oldest followers, not oldest as in he's really old, but he's been with us. Been following us since almost since we were on Twitter is our buddy Fuchuk, Fouchuck, all one word.
Yeah,
another big Philly fan and definitely worth following. If you're a Philly sports fan and you don't follow him, then what's wrong with you? That's all I got to say.
Get it together.
And last but certainly not least, Puck Ducky, also another Philly sports fan, big Flyers fan. And she's, fairly easy on the eyes also, if you're into that sort of thing. But she's real cool and I definitely should give her a follow. So, that'll do it for me.
Good stuff. Good stuff, man. I got a couple shout outs as well. New follow that I've enjoyed. It's two guys that actually run the account, kind of like, us. It's, Hall of Fame worthy. The Twitter handle is HOF. Worthy, one word. Also, another guy who's been following us for a long time, and we've been following back. Bleeds Green 60, Bleeds Green 60. Yeah. His name's Brennan. I think this is his last year at Temple. So shout out to him and all the Temple students. Although your team looked terrible against Penn State this past week, so I'm sure you know that already.
Definitely blew that game.
Don't mean to rub it in. also, another one of my favorite follows. Pwn Team, it's PWN. That's pronounced Pwn for those of you who do not know internet lingo. Pwn Team, he's really funny.
Or Dork Speak, as I like
exactly.
To call it.
Geek Speak, whatever you want to call it. A new follow, just found recently. One of the best parts about Eagle season is you always find huge Eagles fans on Twitter. So you got to follow Eagles Fan Chick. It's Eagles Fan CHIC. Definitely very cool. And a big shout out to my boy JT. His Twitter handle is JTONWNES, JTownWNES, how you want to pronounce it. He shouted us out this week during the Eagles game and said, just a reminder to my Philly sports peoples, an Eagles game isn't an Eagles game without official review. So mad props to him for giving us some credit there.
He has good taste and awesomeness, indeed, obviously.
Indeed, yeah. We love following the Birds and live tweeting Birds games and Phillies games and all that stuff. Postseason's coming up, man. The Phillies postseason.
Absolutely. We'll be on our game.
Yeah, exactly. Phillies postseason and Eagles season is where we made our kind of made our mark. Exactly,
yeah.
Made our mark on the scene and everything like that. So looking forward to meeting some new people, getting some new follows, and following some new people during the postseason. So, it's been another fun show, Murdoch. Thanks for being a part of the show, man. We will do it again next week.
Next week, yeah.
Actually, you know what? I think next week is the 25th episode, man. So
wow,
we'll have to make it special. We'll have to do some fun parts. Get some fan voices as a part of the show, maybe.
Maybe a special guest or two.
Exactly. Yeah, we'll do something cool. So thanks again, guys, for being a part of the show.
Thanks for listening, guys. Hope you enjoyed.
Twitter.com/officialreview, Facebook.com/officialreview, officialreview.tumblr, TUMBLR, and check those sites for officialreview.com, upon officialreview.com, obviously. Got some new shirts in the making, too, so you can find a link on the .com site. You guys have a great week, and Murdoch, there's one other thing that I wanted to tell people.
Yeah, we got Cliff Lee. What up?
That's right.
That is never not gonna be awesome.
Exactly. All right, you guys, take it easy. We'll talk to you later. Peace.
Song. La-dee-da-dee-dum, la-dee-da-dee. What's the name of that song? It goes la-dee-da-dee-dum, la-dee-da-dee-da. Something, something, bird. La-dee-da-dee-dum, la-dee-da-dee. I wish I remembered the words. La-dee-da-dee-dum, la-dee-da-dee. What's the name of that song? A la-dee-da-dee-dum, la-dee-da-dee. I'd like to sing right along. I've heard it said, with words and music, a fella